Good afternoon, everyone. Let's get started. My name is Ganesh Srinivasan. I'm a program manager in the Windows Azure networking team. And I'm really excited to be here to talk to you all about the investments we've made in Windows Azure networking, and in particular, what we've made in terms of virtualization, network virtualization. So I apologize for the title that's printed out there. It says Deep Dive Extending Enterprise Networks into Windows Azure Project Brooklyn. Project Brooklyn is an internal code name we used for this project, and that's what it's essentially supposed to symbolize, the Brooklyn Bridge that links the Brooklyn Island to Manhattan. The same, and that's an analogy we wanted to use to show the case that, you know, you could extend your enterprise networks into the cloud, and particularly Windows Azure. And that's what I'm going to be spending my time talking about today. I realize that I'm the last speaker. I'll try to be on time. I don't want you to be late for your beer or drinks or dinner, so I'll try to be on time. So what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be spending a few minutes giving you an overview of all the hybrid options we have out there. There are different kinds of solutions out there for different kinds of problems. And we'll then focus in on one, which is Windows Azure Virtual Networks, the kind of investments we've made in that. I'll talk about what it actually is, the kind of scenarios it helps you solve. We'll also go through a bunch of demos as we go through some of the scenario descriptions. I'll then walk you all through the entire process of creating virtual networks in Azure. And I just want you all, the one thing that I want you to take back from this is the fact that you don't have to be a networking genius to be able to use this to set up virtual networks in Azure and connect them to your enterprise networks. And I'll then talk a little bit about what we have in terms of our preview offering that we announced last week. So as you all might be aware, as of last week, Windows Azure, we made a very big announcement, which is to support infrastructure as a service. The feature set that I'm going to be talking about today is part of the preview launch that we did last week. So it's still a preview feature. It's our very first attempt at getting network virtualization out there. And we are constantly in the process of improving it. So there are certain restrictions and limitations that are artificially imposed at this point in time. I just wanted you to be aware of that. And I'll try to reserve some time for questions, because it exposes a whole bunch of application patterns that you can run in the cloud. So if you have any questions, we have people from our team here who would also be able to help answer any questions you have. So with that, let's start talking about hybrid in general. I know there are a couple of sessions at the same time that talk about the same topic, but at a high level, hybrid could mean very many things. And the one thing that we'd like you to take back from it is the fact that if you have multiple tiers, they could be geographically distributed across different locations, and you really want to run a service that spans different premises and different geolocations. And essentially, migrating to the cloud may mean a lot of different things. One thing could be the fact that you want to migrate your entire data from your premises to the cloud, and if your data is in the form of a SQL server and you wish to use Windows Azure SQL databases as your preferred database solution, we have a solution called Windows Azure, SQL Azure Data Sync. This tool enables you to essentially synchronize your databases on your premises with the databases that you create in the cloud. Another solution that we offer is Service Bus. This is primarily targeted towards applications that you're actually writing. So if you're actually writing a brand new PaaS application that's geo-distributed, and you like the PubSub model, if it works for you, you really can compile in the libraries into your application and use the Service Bus. But a majority of the applications that we have today, and with infrastructure as a service, our primary focus was in essentially enabling applications to be directly migrated to the cloud without having to be rewritten, or you don't have to compile code or add even a single line of code. For that, you need infrastructure level connectivity to be established between the virtual machines you have running in your premises, either physical machines or virtual machines, two machines that are running in the cloud. And last year, we released an offering called Windows Azure Connect. And Windows Azure Connect is essentially a solution we offer that we built that offers connectivity through a cloud relay service. It uses IPv6 as a transport technology, and it enables you to link machines in your premises to machines running in the cloud. And last week, we introduced this new feature suite. This is primarily for the larger customer base who wants to essentially link sites to one another and actually treat Windows Azure as just another branch office. To make that possible, we introduced Windows Azure Virtual Networks. And I'm going to be spending majority of my time talking about this. Before we dive deep into Windows Azure Virtual Networks, I wanted to give you an idea of what Windows Azure Connect is and what it offers and how is it different from Windows Azure Virtual Networks. I just wanted to see how many of you in the audience have actually used Windows Azure in the past. Oh, quite a few people. How many of you have used Windows Azure Connect in the past? Okay, a few people. And just to set the background, I just wanted to know how many of you have attended the keynote delivered by Mark Resinovich on Monday, and any talks on infrastructure as a service? Great, okay, so that gives me a good idea of what how I could talk about these topics. So what Windows Azure Connect does is it's a very simple service if you wanted to connect machines running in your premises or anywhere to machines running in Windows Azure. All you'd have to do is go to our Windows Azure portal. You download an agent, deploy this agent in machines that are running in your premises. And during provisioning time for PaaS VMs, we automatically provision these agents running the virtual machine. And you have connectivity between the two agents through a cloud relay service. Now, it works if you want to just set something up immediately. It's targeted for dev test kind of scenarios. And it just works. It's very simple to set up and easy to use. But it's not really enterprise ready, or it is not ready for, you know, large volumes of data where, you know, if you're seriously thinking of using Active Directory or SQL Server or any serious application, an IT administrator would not be really interested in deploying an agent in the server itself for communication. So what we decided to do was offer the solution where you can create a virtual network running in the cloud and actually have it talk to your premises using a site-to-site VPN solution. So at this point in time, you have two networks linked together using a site-to-site VPN solution, and you don't have to install any agents. There's unrestricted IP-level connectivity between your premises and Windows Azure, so it's just an extension of your corporate network. So that's what Windows Azure Virtual Network offers. So let's talk about what it is. So it's essentially what we call as our networking on-ramp to enable you to migrate your applications into the cloud. So the primary reason we've started supporting infrastructure as a service is the fact that people find it hard to completely rewrite their applications and move to the PaaS model. So we want you to take your workloads from your premises and move it to the cloud. And if you're moving your virtual machine to the cloud, you're going to do it in phases. You want to have some virtual machines in the cloud and some virtual machines running in your premises. And we wanted to give you the ability to essentially have them connected to one another the same way it would be if you were to place them in two different data centers in your enterprise. So what we actually did was, you know, in addition to that, we've introduced the ability to create a virtual network. So you get to bring your own IP space into the cloud and provide IP addresses from your corporate address range for these virtual machines. And then we offer the ability to connect to your premises using the site-to-site VPN, and we route traffic back and forth between your premises and the cloud. Now, what we'd like you to think about, the way I want you to think about this technology is the fact that now when you have a virtual network running in Azure, you just have a branch office sitting in the cloud, and you're deploying services to your branch office. So the connectivity that we have between the virtual network in Azure and your premises is just going to be what you have between, you know, one of your branch offices. So this enables a lot of things. So it enables you to essentially run hybrid applications. So if you're trying to migrate applications from your premises to the cloud, it would probably be easy for you to move your stateless web tiers from your premises to the cloud and then gradually move the tiers that are stateful and that are harder to move, maybe because of compliance reasons or maybe because of other restrictions, to the cloud. So we've provided this IP-level connectivity, so you can have these two tiers sitting in different locations. Your database tier, for example, sitting in your premises, and the front-end tier sitting in the cloud. And, you know, your front-end could be either IIS servers that you've deployed on virtual machines, or it could be web or worker roles that you deploy in Azure directly using our service model. And we would have connectivity between all these servers and services running in Azure to the services that are running in your premises. There are a few other benefits of just having a virtual network run in the cloud. One of the key things is the fact that you have a secure IPv4 network that's fully contained in the cloud. And it offers a whole bunch of benefits about which I'll talk about in a bit. But it extends the trust boundary of all the services that you have running in the cloud. So traditionally in Windows Azure, what we've done is that You have a hosted service, which is now being rebranded as a cloud service. And the cloud service is has deployment slots. So you either have a production or a staging slot. And all the roles that you deploy within these slots are allowed to communicate with just one another. And that's your trust boundary. So you cannot talk to any service or server outside that trust boundary through the directed IPs, that is your private IP addresses. You would have to go through a public IP address to reach other services. Now, if you're trying to run huge services where you want to have a shared database service or something like that, that you know a large set of services want to talk to, or you want to, let's say, run a SQL server in Azure that has data for multiple services to draw from, you don't really want to go through a WIP. So we can offer the ability to have DIP-level communication, private IP-level communication between these virtual machines if you put them all in a virtual network. So with this technology, it's actually opening up Azure to host a whole bunch of new scenarios that you know couldn't have been possible to run, in Azure without the support of virtual networks. So I'd like to highlight a few. First of all, you can run hybrid scenarios and applications in Windows Azure. You can have some tiers running in your premises and some tiers running in Azure, and you can have unrestricted IP-level connectivity between them. You can use your domain controllers that you have in your premises to actually domain join virtual machines that are running in the cloud and have them managed that way. You could push policies to them. You could do whatever you want with them. In addition to that, you can also set up read-only domain controllers in Azure and have them synced with your domain controller that's running in your premises. So if you want to have a whole bunch of services running in Azure to use AD authentication, and they don't really have to cross the premises and go through the site-to-site VPN solution to get authenticated every time. So if it's chatty, it's going to be highly responsive if you set up a domain controller in Azure. If you're using, you know, monitoring is a key aspect. All of you would love to know the health of your application and the servers that you host in your premises, and I'm sure you want to do the same thing using the exact same management software running in the cloud as well. So what we've really enabled is, since we have this unrestricted IP-level connectivity, you can use SCOM or any management server that you have or any of the system center suites to essentially deploy your MOM packs or any agents to any virtual machine and have them report data back to your corporate management server. And you'd have all the information recorded, and you can treat them the way you treat any other virtual machine running in your premises. I'm sorry for the typo. You can also have a SharePoint farm running in the cloud. One of the things that was demonstrated in Satya Nadella's keynote was that there was an AFLAC SharePoint site that was actually hosted in Windows Azure. So one of the demos I'm going to have is I'm going to actually open it up, and I'm going to walk you through how we actually went about deploying the entire SharePoint farm in a virtual network in Azure. The virtual network is the glue that holds the Active Directory, the SQL servers, the front ends, and the application servers together and enables you to have communication between one another. And the other key thing that differentiates us from our competition is the fact that we have our PaaS offering and IaaS offering, and you can have mix and match them, and they work better together in our platform. So you can have certain tiers of your application running as web and worker roles, certain tiers of your application running as virtual machines, and you can mix and match them, and you can migrate your applications in a very phased manner. So let's talk about the features we bring to the table with this release. So the first thing is that we give you the ability to bring your own IP space into the cloud. So as of today, we support only IPv4, private IPv4 addresses. Anything that conforms to RFC 1918 is a valid IP address range that you can bring to the cloud. You can bring the entire RFC 1918 space. We don't restrict you from doing that. We also allow you with the ability to carve out subnets in Azure. So you can carve out IP subnets within your virtual network. Let's say I decided to bring the entire 10.0.0.0 IP address space to Azure. I can carve out smaller subnets within them and place my services within them. So when you deploy a service, you place them in a subnet so they get predictable IP addresses. So it's easy for IP address management and a whole bunch of other things. The other thing that we do is, once you get an IP address from the address range that you've specified, we make sure that the private IP address, the 10.IP address or 192.IP address that you've specified, stays with the virtual machine for the entire lifetime of the virtual machine or the service. So let's say we were updating the infrastructure and we service healed. If you've attended Mark Trusinovich's talk earlier, he talked about service healing and a few other concepts. What we mean by service healing is we actually kill the virtual machine in that particular physical server and move it over to another server. And we may do it either because the physical node is bad or something else is wrong. So when something like that happens, you're guaranteed to have the same IP address for your virtual machine, irrespective of where we place it, as long as the service is active. And this is extremely important because this is what enables us to host DNS servers, domain controllers, and a few other services in Azure that have a hard dependency on IP addresses. So we, as I mentioned earlier, we offer the ability to do site-to-site connectivity as well as part of virtual networks. You create a virtual network in Azure and connect it to your premises using a site-to-site VPN. But we really don't want you to configure two VPN devices. So we've taken away the pain of having to configure a site-to-site VPN solution on the Azure side. So I'll exactly show you how it's possible, but we actually deploy a gateway tenant in our data center on your behalf, and we actually deploy two virtual machines that are worker roles, that are past tenants, that are in active-passive mode. So if one of the gateway tenants fails, we automatically fail over to the other gateway tenant to ensure that your tunnel is always available. And we maintain all of that. So you can, when I show the portal, you'll see that by just a click of a button, you can actually deploy a gateway tenant, and you can configure the tunnel, VPN tunnel, between an industry standard VPN device that you have on your premises to the virtual network's soft VPN solution that we spawn out here. And we support all industry standard VPN devices. We use standard IPsec site-to-site VPN, and we use standard IKE V1 protocol, AES encryption, SHA-1 hashing. So it's just all standard protocols, and it should work with any standard device that you have. And you know, we also now explicitly give you the control of specifying what DNS servers you want to use. So let's say you are creating a virtual network in Azure and you wanted to have it join your corporate domain. The first thing that enables you to resolve the name of your domain controller is the DNS server. And DNS servers are typically co-located with your domain controllers. So we give you the ability to specify one or more DNS servers as part of your virtual network definition. And that's what enables you to do, you know, either host domain controllers in Azure or host domain control, use your domain controllers in your premises to offer, you know, domain join virtual machines. So these three key features are what are going to be enabling a whole bunch of scenarios that we have. So let's just look at a simple example of what a typical scenario would look like. So in this particular case, I've chosen Contoso. Contoso has a headquarters that uses the 10.0.0/16 address space. If you're wondering what that IP address notation is, it's called CIDR IP address notation. The first number that you see, 10.0.0.0, specifies the starting IP address, and the /16 represents the subnet mask. In this particular case, the subnet mask is 255.255.0.0. So it uses the entire 10.0.0 address space for the corporate network. Now, they've chosen to deploy two different virtual networks, be it in two different regions, or for two different purposes, and they wanted to isolate their production environment in Azure from their dev test environment. So they've chosen to create two virtual networks, one, the production network with 10.1.0.0 address space, and the test infrastructure with 10.2.0.0. And they've carved out smaller subnets within their virtual network so they can place various services. Both these virtual networks can actually reside by themselves in Azure, or can be linked to your premises using the site-to-site VPN solution. So in this particular example, they are talking to a standard site-to-site VPN solution that has a 131.IP address. And they have a corporate domain controller as well, 10.0.0.10 and 10.0.0.11. And they could use the DNS servers co-located with the domain controllers to actually, you know, use for name resolution as well as use them for domain joining purposes. So this is how it's very simple to set up something like this, and I'll show you how we'll exactly do that. So let's talk about, you know, some of the scenarios that we've been trying to optimize for and some of the scenarios that we've been trying to enable as part of our preview experience. This is just a start. There are a lot more things coming in, down the road, but, you know, I just wanted to talk about what we're just introducing right now. The very first thing is the fact that we offer this hybrid connectivity. So you can have certain tiers of your application running in your premises, certain tiers of your application running in Azure as web worker roles or virtual machines. There's no difference in the way you configure things, configure your network, be it PaaS or IaaS that you choose to deploy in Windows Azure. Second thing is the fact that you can use domain controllers, either use your on-prem domain controllers or use the domain controllers you run in Windows Azure. Third thing is the fact that you can use System Center Operations Manager to monitor any service that's running in Windows Azure. And you just have to, all you have to do is get your SCOM agent, deploy it in your virtual machine, and it starts reporting data back to your SCOM server. And any other application that requires advanced connectivity options, I just left it as a generic topic because SharePoint, setting up a SharePoint farm actually fits into this category, and we'll look at it in detail. So let's look at application migration. Let's say this company had a web-facing application, and the target application that we are trying to optimize for our preview release is essentially a web-facing application that you really want to move to the cloud, but you want to use your on-prem monitoring infrastructure and your on-prem domain controller for authentication and management purposes. So that's what we are trying to optimize for. So in case you chose to move this application face by face to Windows Azure, how would it look? What you do is you would actually create a virtual network in Windows Azure, ask us to create a soft VPN solution for it, establish the VPN tunnel, and then you could say, hey, I don't want to use IIS servers anywhere. We've made sufficient enhancements to our tooling, so you can actually take the same web page, package it, and actually deploy it as a web role in Windows Azure. So you could take the same application and post it as a web role in Windows Azure, but you don't have to change any of your other tiers. You can have the data move from the web role that you're hosting in Windows Azure back to your premises to traverse through the other two tiers and go back to your web role to go out to the internet. So you could use the deployments you have in Windows Azure as stateless gateways that just communicate, that just have the front end. Then you could choose to move each tier at a time and have IP level connectivity between them. And finally, you could even move your domain controller if you're going to use your authentication a lot. You don't want to traverse your VPN tunnel to, you know, the site-to-site connection to get to your corporate headquarters every time to have your tunnel authenticated. So you can place your domain controller there as well. And then at that point in time, you can completely disconnect your corporate infrastructure other than monitoring and have the service completely running in Windows Azure. So you can do it in a very phased manner, and that's why we call it as the networking on-ramp to enable you to move these applications to the cloud easily. Now, I wanted to show you a simple demo where I wanted to show you how easy it is to, first of all, deploy a virtual machine in Azure and domain join it to your corporate domain if you had a virtual network created. And the second thing is I'm going to show you a little bit of PowerShell. So we've done some work in terms of provisioning where using PowerShell, it's extremely easy. At the time of provisioning, you can specify your domain credentials and provide information on the domain controller, and we just deploy the virtual machine, and it's automatically domain joined. It's like using any other script that you'd use in your premises. So I'm going to show you both those demos. And if you're wondering, why am I talking about it before I start talking about how do you create a virtual network, hold on. I have a demo that walks you through how to create a virtual network from scratch using a portal. Or if you're a little bit more advanced, you can either use PowerShell or REST APIs to actually do the same task. So I'm going to walk you through all the processes. But it's going to be in a reverse manner. I apologize for that. So this is the new Windows Azure portal, and I'm sure you've seen this very many times. There's a networking tab here at the bottom that essentially lists all the virtual networks that you have, and I'm going to walk you through all the elements here. Virtual networks are the network or IP address pools that you create in Windows Azure. It's essentially the trust boundary for the network that you create. It's the IP subnet that you bring into the cloud. Now, we expect you to model your premises as well, the IP address ranges you use in your premises as well, to enable us to route packets effectively. And we refer to those as local networks. Your premises is referred to in Azure as local networks. So in this case, when I'm actually going to do the demonstration of setting up this, I have my office. I have a small mini network with a site-to-site VPN device sitting in my office. I've modeled my office. I'm using the 10.1 address range. And I have a VPN device, so I have a public IP address through which I can connect to my VPN device. I can specify the DNS servers that I want to use for my name resolution that's sitting in my premises. So in this case, in the virtual network that I've set up in my office in Redmond, I have a small domain controller, a test domain controller that I've set up. Now, I just want to slightly move on and talk about a slightly different topic. This has been existing in Azure for a while now, so we have this thing called the affinity group in Azure. So what an affinity group is an abstract concept that tells us that I want to run a bunch of services and I want them to be placed as close to one another as possible because of latency and all that. And under the covers, what we do is we try to place them in the same data center and typically within a single fabric cluster, if you listen to what Mark Rusinovich talked about. So it's optimizing for latency. And if you create a network, you want all your resources to be placed right next to one another. So we expect you to create a virtual network in Azure before you place services in them. So that's where we have virtual, an affinity group. An affinity group has to be created, and you place your virtual network in your affinity group. So we'll talk about all these things. I'll show you how to exactly create each and every one of these elements. But now let's look at a VM that I've already domain joined first, and then we'll domain join another VM. So this is a domain controller, and I'm going to get the host name. If you look at the host name, it's going to be TechEd VNet VM1. And I'm going to see what my credentials are. I've actually joined it to the domain. So if you look at it, it's going to be vnetdemo/ganesh. Vnetdemo is the domain controller that I've set up in my premises. And I'm going to do an IP config to show that the IP address that we've assigned for the virtual machine, which is 10.100.2.4 is the IP address of the virtual machine that we've assigned from the IP address pool. I'll exactly show you where that IP address came from. And if you look at the DNS server, it says 10.1.0.5. That's the DNS server that I chose to, chose as the default DNS server for the virtual network that I created in Azure. So when the VM actually came up, it actually had these properties built in, so I could easily domain join it. Now I've created another virtual machine exactly the same way, which is not domain joined. As you can see, I'm not logging in with domain credentials. I'm just logging in with standard admin credentials that I used when I created the virtual machine. So now that I'm in the virtual machine, all I can do is go to Computer, Properties, Change Settings, and let's look at IP config just to make sure DNS is right. This has also got an IP address of 10.100.2.5. We'll look at where the IP address came from, but the DNS server is 10.1.0.5. So I'm good to domain join this virtual machine. So I'm going to say change domain vnetdemo.com. That's the domain controller that I have. It's trying to connect to the domain controller cross premises, and it's asking for admin credentials. So I'm going to say Ganesh, the password. So it takes about a few seconds because it's traversing the VPN tunnel to get all the authentication going, to make sure everything is joined, and boom, the virtual machine we have running in Windows Azure is now joined to a domain controller that's running in the premises. Now I've done one more thing where I've actually created a domain controller replica. So if you actually go to windowsazure.com, manage, and there's a network section in there, we've got a whole bunch of tutorials that walk you through the whole process of setting up virtual networks, deploying virtual machines in virtual networks, setting up Active Directory in a virtual network, and actually creating an Active Directory replica in a virtual network. So I used that tutorial to actually create a DC replica running in the cloud. Now, I don't have to point my VMs to the corporate DNS server or the corporate AD. I can point it to this virtual machine. And we could do it in a lot of ways. I want to show you how you would do that if you were to use PowerShell, since it's very easy to go into the VM and make the change. So as part of our release last week, we also announced support for a whole bunch of PowerShell commandlets. So all these are extremely well documented. So you can actually download some of the tutorials and go over them, and it makes it extremely easy to do this. So in this particular case, I'm importing the PowerShell commandlet import, and then I'm importing all the properties about my subscription. Then I'm setting, I have multiple subscriptions in my account, and I'm just picking one of the subscriptions into which I have all my virtual networks defined. I'm going to deploy a new server, but I want to point it to the DNS server that I've actually set up in the cloud, for which I know the IP address of. So I specify that this is the DNS server that I actually have to use when I create this new VM. Then I go ahead and say, here's the VM name, here's the image that you have to use. We have platform images, as well as the ability for you to bring your own images. So you can point to the image that you actually want to use for the virtual machine, put it in a cloud service, and you have a whole bunch of stuff that you have to write specifying the VM size, your password, your domain credentials, and your domain name, and then say, create a virtual machine. And you run this PowerShell commandlet. It's going to take a few minutes. After about 10 minutes, you would see a virtual machine appearing in the Windows Azure portal that has the virtual machine deployed, and we'll get back to it on that screen. So when I do the next demo, you'll see a virtual machine sitting in there called TechEd VNet VM4 that's already been domain joined, and we can log in using domain credentials. So let me show you the PowerShell commandlet that I ran. I put it in the slide deck for your reference. It's pretty easy. When you're deploying a virtual machine through any tools, you can choose to specify DNS as an optional property for your service. So that way we know if you're running a DNS service in the cloud, you could use that. You specify your virtual network, you specify your domain credentials, and all the network-specific stuff where you specify the subnet into which you want to deploy it, as well as the virtual network name. The service actually gets deployed into that. So let's now move on to another scenario, which is monitoring. You could have SCOM servers set up in your premises or use any of your favorite management software to monitor the state and health of both your virtual machines and your application. And since we have the site-to-site VPN connectivity, if you deploy your mom packs, there's no problem. All your VMs will start reporting health back to your corporate, the management server that's running in your premises. You can also choose to set up your own monitoring server in Windows Azure and have all these virtual machines send monitoring data to that. But we thought this was a more interesting scenario for you. Now let's talk about SharePoint. You know, we've seen a lot of demand for SharePoint, and this was one of the things that was really cool where, you know, we considered that whenever we were able to support SharePoint in Windows Azure, we were ready to ship our preview launch. So our focus was on enabling SharePoint running in Azure because it has all the key elements that you look for in a typical multi-tier application. You have SQL server databases running in your backend, and for high availability, you may choose to mirror the two SQL servers. You have front-end servers that have to host your front-end content. You have application servers, and SharePoint does require you to have a domain controller for, you know, authentication. So overall, it puts a multi-tier, it's a good example of how you'd set up a multi-tier application. And another thing that you want to see here is the fact that I'm going to expose this SharePoint form to the public internet. So I need a public IP address that's NATed to a bunch of virtual machines that is running in my private network. And if you looked at all the definitions of virtual networks that I'm going to show you, it's all going to have information on the private network. So we actually have a software-based load balancing solution that's doing the load balancing, and it does the job of mapping the public IP address to all the private IP address ranges that we have. So you can actually have a dual-homed service without having to create two NICs or manage two NICs at the NIC level. You have two IP addresses that are assigned to you. Everything is at layer 3 level, and we automatically do the mapping for you if you define your endpoints for your services. So it's extremely straightforward to do that. So let's go back and look at the keynote demo. So Mark Rusinovich was on stage with the Aflac team, and they showcased the Aflac SharePoint site. Now, here is the Aflac site. So I have a virtual network called Aflac East that's actually connected to the Aflac data center, and there's actually data flowing between the two. Aflac chose to bring the 10.1 subnet into Windows Azure, and they created three subnets for this demo. So they have a front-end subnet that's a /24, so it can have up to 255 virtual machines. So you place your front-end roles in there. They wanted to place their domain controller and a domain controller replica in Azure as well. So they have a domain controller subnet, and they have a backend subnet where they wanted to place their SQL server and their application server. So they created a virtual network with these subnets in them, and they chose to connect it to their corporate DC just to make sure that it's connected to their main domain controller as well. So with this, what they did was they started deploying these various virtual machines. So let's look at the virtual machines that they deployed. If you look at anything with this prefix SP, it's what is used in the Aflac SharePoint site. So we have the WFEs, which are web frontends. There are four IIS servers that are configured to be web frontends by SharePoint. They are SharePoint frontend servers. And you have four of them. You have two app servers. You have two SQL servers that are mirrored. There's a SQL witness for that, as well as two domain controllers for high availability. Now, if you look at it, they chose to deploy the domain controller first in a separate service. This is the name of the service. It's called Aflac DC. And then they've deployed their application service, the front end and everything as a single service. So the domain controller exists by itself. So now if you wanted to actually log into the Aflac website, you can just connect to this link and it asks me for credentials. So I entered credentials for Aflac as part of the Aflac domain, and here I am logging into the website, and it's using the domain controller that's actually running in Azure for authentication, and it's going to show you the Aflac website anytime now. So it's extremely easy to build these kinds of applications where you first define your network. You say what's the address space you want to use, what are all the subnets that you want to use, and actually then place these virtual machines in these virtual networks. It's extremely easy. I can show you how to create a virtual network as well, but here it is. Here's the Aflac website, and you can go into any link, and you'd get more information. So this Aflac site is actually four front ends, two app servers, two SQL servers, and two domain controllers, all running in Windows Azure. It's connected to their corporate headquarters just for using their corporate DC. So it's a clear example of how you can use a virtual network to create a complex application in Windows Azure. I talked about one more scenario, which is kind of a thing that we like to really talk about because it distinguishes us from our competition. It is the fact that you can build a service where half your roles are based on platform as a service, so you get the benefits of elasticity and availability and lesser management pain. And on the back end, you could use your preferred SQL Server database. So you could really mix and match and build any kind of applications where you build your front end in, let's say, a PaaS role and expose it through the load balancer to the internet, so you actually get the NAT benefit where your internet-facing edge is completely isolated from the back end network that you actually created in Azure. And you get this isolation and this NATing purely by defining endpoints in Azure. You don't have to manage two networks, two interfaces, and do a whole bunch of network level stuff. It's all at layer three. And you have unrestricted IP level connectivity between web services that's running in Azure and the database tier that's running in Azure as well or in your premises. Now, one thing that we expect you to do at this point in time, which is a temporary limitation of our preview launch, is the fact that we have this other service called Azure Provided DNS. So we actually offer name resolution as a service between virtual machines and a single service. Now these can be, since they are deployed as two different services, we don't offer name resolution between them. The workaround is to use your own domain controller, DNS server to do name resolution. But it's not far off from now that we will be announcing support for Azure provided DNS that spans the premises and that spans all the services that you deploy in the virtual network. So we've given you the ability to bring your own IP address space into Windows Azure. You may be wondering, okay, I'm bringing my IP address pool to Azure. How secure is it? If my competitor has the same address range and he also chooses to come to Windows Azure, is he going to be able to see my machines? Is he going to be able to connect to me or know what I'm deploying in Azure? The answer is no. Just like how VMs virtualized compute, we've actually fundamentally changed the way we do networking here for this feature set. We've actually virtualized the network. So each of you, when you create a virtual network in Azure, you get a dedicated layer 3 network running in Azure that no one else can actually see. We do that by virtualizing the entire IP address space. So for every IP address we assign for a VM in the address space from which you specify, we use another IP address in the Azure space as well, and we map them. So this way, you know, only your VMs know the mapping and can talk to other VMs in the same network or the VMs in your premises, and others won't be able to because we do a lot of policy checks when we do this mapping. So we've done a whole bunch of magic under the covers, and all this is cool networking stuff. So if you're a geek, network virtualization is a very hot area that you want to look at, and this is powered by that technology. So we virtualize the network just the way VMs run on virtualized compute. We virtualize the network for this. So let's get to the part where I think I should have started, which is how do you create a virtual network? What's the process for creating a virtual network in Azure, and how can I do it? So for that, we've introduced this new persona in Windows Azure. Azure has historically been a developer-focused platform, and with the announcement of infrastructure as a service, IT admins can also play a role, but we also wanted the network admin to have a role here. So we really wanted the network admin to come and actually define the network before services are deployed. So the network admin can either use the portal, there's a wizard in the portal that I'll go through, or compose a network configuration file that essentially logically, you know, gives a logical layout of the network. So he could author it or use the portal and submit it, or use REST APIs or PowerShell to do it, and you push the configuration in. Once the configuration is in, it has information on your premises, the address range of your premises, the site-to-site VPN device that you have in your premises, the domain controllers you have in your premises, the address space you want to use for the virtual network, the affinity group you want to map it to, smaller subnets where you want to place services in, and then the network admin says, create a gateway subnet and create a gateway for me. We do the gateway creation, and we have a public IP address, and we have a secret key. We package that up in the form of a script, and it's also available in the portal that you can see, and we give it back to the administrator. So based on the VPN device you have, we support a standard set of VPN devices for which we generate automatic scripts. So if you have, let's say, a Cisco ISR series device as a site-to-site VPN solution, we actually give you a configuration script template that you can download from our portal and directly apply it to your VPN device. So the moment the script is applied, IPsec does its job of negotiating all the keys, and you have a site-to-site VPN connection set up between the premises and the virtual network that you've set up in the cloud. Now the network admin's done his job. He hands it off to the IT admin or the developer who deploys any of their services, be it virtual machines or PaaS instances, web and worker roles into Windows Azure, and they just appear in your subnets. So just to recap, you can do the whole process using a wizard that we have in the portal. The portal also allows you to manage the gateway. We have APIs, we have a whole rich set of REST APIs that you can use, or we have PowerShell commandlets that you can also use to create the virtual networks and manage the gateway lifecycle. We have a network service model if you really wanted to model the whole thing in a service model. It's published in MSDN. The schema is available for download. You could author it using the schema and push it in. And the operations we allow are, you know, create a network and get network information. And we offer a rich set of APIs to manage the gateway lifecycle as well. So let me actually show you what it takes to create a virtual network in Azure, and it's extremely easy. So we are back in our favorite Windows Azure portal, and when you go back to this view, there's a tab called Networks that lists all the networks. Now, just like the way you create a virtual machine in the new portal, you can create a network. You can go click plus, network. You can either import a file if you've pre-authored it, or you could do a custom create where we'll walk you through a wizard to help you create it. Now I'm going to create a new virtual network in Azure, and I'm going to call it my new VNet. And I want to put it, let's say, in a new region. I don't want to put it in US East. I want to put it in US West. Let's do US West, and call it. And so if you've not already created an affinity group, this wizard allows you to create an affinity group on the fly. So I'm create a new affinity group here called my VNet affinity group. I'm going to put it in this subscription. I have two subscriptions. and I'm going to move on to the next page. Now, this is the space where you have to know what IP addresses you want to use to create a virtual network in Azure. Now, let's say I'm going to create a small virtual network, and I'm going to do 192.168.0.0 address space. So for my virtual network, I'm going to say I'm going to use 192.168.0.0/24. Now, I can also mix and match or have different address ranges. Let's say I wanted to use a 10-dot address space as well, in addition to 192 for my virtual network, I could do that. Let's say I chose to bring another smaller subnet. Now, these two address ranges are available in my virtual network. And I can optionally carve out smaller subnets. Let's say I wanted a front-end subnet and a back-end subnet to host services. I'm going to do 192.168.0.0/28 and a back-end subnet that's 192.168.0.16/24. By the way, if I make a mistake, so I've made a mistake here, the IP addresses I entered are overlapping, and that's not really acceptable. Your subnet should not be overlapping. So the portal actually warns me, so I know I've made a mistake, and I've fixed it. So I have two subnets running there, and I'm going to place tenants there. We'll see how we do that as well. Or let me create another subnet. I've created these three subnets. Now, I can choose to use a DNS server. I could use my DNS server that I already defined, or I could use another DNS server. For fun, I'm going to use another DNS server. And I'm going to pick some random IP address for now. And that's it. I can have multiple DNS servers that I can add. And when we bootstrap the virtual machines or pass tenants, we actually DHCP these IP addresses to the VM, so it by default points to these DNS servers. Now, you can create a standalone virtual network. If that's your goal, you stop here and you click you're done. But if you really want to establish cross-premises connectivity, you check this box, and it asks you for a gateway subnet. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to create a gateway tenant on your behalf. It's two instances, and we have to host it in your network for routing purposes. So we need you to tell us what subset of the address spaces within your network I can use to create this. So I can use 10.0.2.0/, no, I can't use 0 because I already have a subnet there, 32/28. And I want to connect it to my office, or I can create another place I want to connect it to. Let's say I'm creating a new site. Let's say I have a new branch office to connect to. New branch, and the VPN device IP for that could be, I'm just guessing some numbers. And the address space there, so I have to know how to route packets, what addresses are reachable on the other side. So I have to specify the address range for that site. And in this case, I'm going to do 192.168.1.0/24. So now I'm going to route packets back and forth between the two subnets, or the virtual network and the premises. And that's it. I've now created a virtual network in Azure. So by just clicking through the wizard, I've actually created a virtual network. And it should say created in about a few seconds, yes. So it's created the virtual network. And I can it takes a few seconds for the networking part to show up, and I'm sure we'll fix it by GA. Yeah, so the network showed up. My new network showed up, and it now shows me the fact that my virtual network is not connected to my premises because A, I defined a subnet for having the gateway, but I've not actually started the gateway. We charge for cross-premises connectivity. The network, the virtual network creation is actually a free option for you. So you can actually create a free virtual network in Azure. You can create up to 5 virtual networks in Azure. And if you want more, you can call support and you'll increase the quota. But for gateway, for cross-premises connectivity, we plan to charge 5 cents an hour for cross-premises connectivity for both the active passive VMs put together. So it's actually a cool deal. We charge for egress bandwidth as well as for compute for the gateway tenant. So if you really don't want to have that connectivity up all the time, you can stop the gateway. So in this case, I've not created the gateway. So we give you the explicit control over creating the gateway. And you say yes, you've submitted the operation. Under the covers, what we do is we instruct our infrastructure service to actually deploy a gateway tenant, which is actually a web role, or sorry, a worker role, two-instance worker role. So it's going to take the typical time, let's say 10 minutes or lesser than that. I think the average is 8 minutes to deploy the gateway tenant. And once it's done, you're ready to configure your VPN tunnel. Now, I already have a virtual network that I've pre-configured with the tunnel, but let me show you what are all the information you need to actually configure the VPN device on your site to establish the tunnel. The first thing you'd need is actually the gateway IP address. You need the IP address of the VPN device, that's the soft VPN solution that we are running in Azure, so you can open up the firewalls on the other end to connect to this site as well. The other thing is you want a secure tunnel, so you need a pre-shared key to authenticate you. So you're going to view the pre-shared key, and the portal is going to show you the pre-shared key. You can take these, and these two pieces of information, along with the subnets that you've defined on either side, are going to be enough for you to actually configure your VPN device. And to simplify VPN device configuration, we've done one more thing where you can actually download a template script from us for certain VPN devices that we work with these partners in getting to you. And that will help you plug in these numbers into this template, and you can program your VPN device just by opening up a command line window and pushing it in. So let's say I had a Cisco ISR series device, and I said, okay, give me the script. It's going to pop up a download window that I can open. And it has a fully commented document that tells you what to stick in where. And once you've plugged in all the values from the portal that you get, you can just directly open up a console on the VPN device and apply the script. So it's as easy as that. And once you apply the script, it automatically establishes the VPN tunnel and connects it. And once the connection is established, you actually see this green part where it shows it's connected, and we actually show you bytes sent and received. We'll show more statistics closer to when we release. So it's as simple as that. So creating a virtual network in Azure and connecting it to your premises is just a few clicks away. It's extremely easy to do that. Now, you've created a virtual network. How easy is it to create a virtual machine in a virtual network? Extremely easy. So you go, click on Create Virtual Machines, and I'm going to create, let's say, a Windows Server 2012 RC image, a virtual machine running here. I'm going to call it MyTechEd VM. And I'm going to deploy just a small VM. I'm going to give it some name. It's going to use, I want it to use my image store. This is where it's going to store the VHD for the VM. And it's going to ask me, where do I place it? And I'm going to say, I'm going to place it in my VNet. That's the virtual network that I want to deploy this virtual machine into. And it automatically picks the subscription. Now, I can then specify the subnet where I want to actually place the VM in. So in this case, if I wanted to place it in test subnet 3, for example, when I bootstrap it, it's going to get an IP address from 10.100.7.4 or something like that would be the IP address of the virtual machine that you create. And that's it. Now you've created a virtual machine in a virtual network and you've placed it in a particular subnet, so it's going to have a predictable IP address. And by the fact that you've specified a DNS server, it's automatically, when it bootstraps, it's going to point to that default DNS server. If it's in your premises, you've already established the tunnel, you have connectivity there, so you can resolve names of any corporate file server or any other server that you have running in your premises. Now, just the way we actually deployed virtual machines, it's extremely easy to deploy PaaS tenants as well. Now, in the case of PaaS tenants, I have a sample PaaS tenant here. So I have a small package here that has a web role definition and a worker role definition. And the way you deploy PaaS is you have a service model where you... Sorry about that. So the way you define, you deploy your PaaS roles is that you have a package and a service configuration file. The service configuration file tells you how to deploy the package. And the package has a service definition that's like a template. Now, in the service configuration file, I have two roles. I have a web role and a worker role, and I can specify the number of instances I want and a few other data there. But the cool thing that you can do is we've added this new section to that called network configuration. So in this case, you can specify the DNS server you want to use for your PaaS tenants. You could specify what VNet it goes into here, the subnets that you want to place each role in. You can specify more than one subnet. So in this particular case, I want to deploy my web role in my front-end subnet and my worker role in my back-end subnet, and I want them to all point to my Karp DNS server. And I want to put it on my VNet. So I'm going to do this deployment. So what I have to do is go to the Windows Azure portal, cloud services. Now you're creating a cloud service. I'd say create cloud service, custom create. I'm going to put it in the affinity group I have to pick, which is I'm going to pick my VNet demo, my VNet affinity group, or my VNet demo affinity group, the subscription, and then I say deploy the package now. It asks me for the deployment name, my prod deployment. I browse. Point to the package file. Point to the service configuration file that has information on the virtual network. Click a few boxes just to be sure, and say go. And that's all. So by just n clicks of the mouse, you've now deployed two web role instances and two worker role instances, and the deployment is going on in the background. And if you look at the portal, I've already deployed a similar service here, which I called it my PaaS demo 456. And I've got two web and two worker role instances that are running in the virtual network. And if you've defined endpoints, which I don't know if I did, you should be able to connect to the service from the public internet. I guess I did not. So it's extremely easy to deploy virtual machines, create a virtual network first, deploy virtual machines in a virtual network, as well as deploy PaaS tenants in a virtual network. So let's now talk about, we just talked about this. This is the service definition schema. Service definition schema where you actually model the virtual network specific information if you're deploying web and worker roles into a virtual network. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the VPN devices and the kind of support we have for cross-premises connectivity. So we support industry standard protocols. So we have an IPsec VPN. We choose IKE V1 for now. We are planning to support IKE V2 as well. Encryption schemes are SSS and AES 128. We are looking to add support for AES 256 for compliance reasons. We do SHA-1 for hashing. We will add support for SHA-2 as well. We've worked with a few VPN device partners to, you know, have them bless some of the VPN device configurations and support some of them. So Cisco and Juniper, you know, they've worked with us in validating some device families. So if you had any devices in these device families, both us and Cisco have gone through the pains of validating each one of these. But that doesn't mean other VPN devices don't work. I was looking at the forum earlier today, and I've already seen people try out TMG, a bunch of Linksys devices, and a bunch of few other devices that, you know, are not as common as Cisco and Juniper VPN devices. The list of VPN devices we support will grow, you know, periodically, and we will add more device families from these vendors, as well as add new device vendors to the list. And in addition, we will include support for software VPN solutions as well. One of the things we are eagerly waiting for is the release of Windows Server 2012, When that happens, we plan to support Windows Server 2012 remote routing and remote access service as your soft VPN solution that you can deploy in your premises to connect to the virtual networks that you deploy in Windows Azure. So stay tuned. The list will keep on growing, and you can follow our documentation for more information on that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what we're offering as part of preview today. So your subscriptions, if you've gone and clicked on enabling for IaaS preview for virtual machines, you get virtual networks for free along with that. Virtual networks and cross-premises connectivity is going to be a free offering during the preview time frame. We're not going to charge you for the gateway time during preview. Feel free to go and try it out. By default, your subscription allows you to create 5 virtual networks independently, 9 DNS servers, and 5 corporate premises sites that you can define to link to virtual networks. If you want more, you can always make a call to our support, and you can increase it to whatever number you want. There is no hard restriction or limit in the number of virtual networks you can create for your subscription. We only allow IPv4 address spaces for your virtual networks that you create in Azure, and it's going to be only private IP addresses for now. We are working on planning to support IPv6 as well, but that's not in our immediate roadmap, but it is definitely something that to look forward to from us. We offer connectivity from a single virtual network to a single site as part of the preview release. We plan to enable you to connect to multiple sites from a single virtual network pretty soon, and there's no limitation on the number of subnets you have. And on the premises side, we will route to both private and public IP addresses, though we can connect to only one VPN device on a site at any given point in time to avoid routing confusion. We are doing a lot to get rid of some of these limitations to make sure that the experience is clean and smooth. In summary, virtual network, we'd like to call this as, the enabler for enabling you to run hybrid applications in Azure, and it's truly our networking on-ramp to enable you to migrate your applications to Windows Azure seamlessly without, much pain. You can move one tier at a time. It supports the ability to create virtual networks, bring your own IP address space into the cloud. We offer site-to-site connectivity, and you can use your on-premise DNS server for name resolution. And it's brand new. This whole feature set is brand new. We released it last Thursday. We'd love you all to try it and give us feedback. And also, if you had any questions, post questions in our support forums. And, we'd make sure that we'd answer every one of these things. So I'd encourage you all to actually sign up for the virtual machines and virtual networks preview that we've launched. Use it. Tell us if we did good or if you have any pains in using them. We'll try to, we really appreciate your feedback, and we'll feed it back into our product and improve it. And we've set up support forums. You can visit them, and you can actually post your comments, and we'll make sure we respond to it. We also have a whole bunch of tutorials and stuff that we've set up in the Windows Azure portal that you'll have access to. Those tutorials are extremely simple to follow, just the way I did a demo. It's exactly the same content. You can click through them, and we've got screenshots. They're extremely simple for you to go and make this happen. So we've tried to make networks as simple as possible and as easy to deploy, and we'll only make it simpler going forward. So any questions, any feedback you have, I'd be more than happy to take them. We also have a whole bunch of related content. Unfortunately, some of them happen to be at the same time as this session, but you can always review the slides and look at the content offline. And if there are any sessions, like there is a session on Linux that's coming tomorrow, I'd encourage you to attend that as well. And with that, I'd like to take any questions you have. And I'd really appreciate it if you could go to the mic and ask your question, because others can hear it. So the question was, where do we go to sign up? If you go to windowsazure.com, you have the option of signing up for a free subscription if you don't already have one. And if you already have a subscription, you can go to the betas and previews page and ask us to enable it. We enable it on a daily basis. So if you make a request today, hopefully by tomorrow you should have it enabled. Yep, windowsazure.com. So today, as part of our preview release, we don't connect the virtual networks among themselves. We expect you to route them through your premises, but we're definitely working on plans to allow you to communicate between virtual networks. Today, the way we architected it is like a spoke model where all these virtual networks are like satellite offices talking to the corporate headquarters, but that's something that we're really working on and enabling.
That's pretty much what you're going to stick with for now.
So as I mentioned, our device family list is just going to grow from this point on. This is just a start. We're also going to start looking at supporting soft VPN solutions. So if you don't want to really buy a hardware device and stick it in there, soft VPN solutions, do you have anything specific in mind?
Well, I'm talking like, let's say, for example, I'm a developer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have access to any enterprise sources mm-hmm. like public IP addresses or VPNs mm-hmm. or anything like this, right? Mm-hmm. What I want to do, I want to evaluate my app, mm-hmm. how this would work
mm-hmm.
from on-premise to mm-hmm. The cloud via the VNet, right?
So
what are my options here?
The current option for you is Windows Azure Connect, which is in preview, but what we're trying to work on is essentially have that experience, the developer experience, where you just deploy an agent and you connect to an entire network in Azure. That's something that we are working on. That's in our roadmap. So you will very soon have the ability to create a virtual network in Azure just the way I showed, download a client from our portal, deploy it in your virtual machine, and have connectivity between your dev machine and the virtual network you have in Azure. It's coming, but it's not part of our preview release that we just made.
Okay, so it's called Connect, right?
Connect is already existing. It's machine-to-machine connectivity.
Okay.
We will offer that support as part of Windows Azure Virtual Network.
Okay.
That's coming.
Okay. Also, you talked about the domain controller deployment
mm-hmm.
in VNet, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys do any kind of testing performance-wise or whatever? Let's say having the DCs
mm-hmm.
In Azure versus not having them
so
in different scenarios?
Absolutely. So when we say we support some a product, we actually have our product team run through the whole suite of tests, and they bless it, both in terms of performance, scalability, and functionality. So in this particular case, the Active Directory team was heavily involved in testing Active Directory with us. They've done a whole bunch of performance tests and scalability tests with this. And in fact, I think 2 days back, Dean Wells from the Active Directory team actually gave a talk primarily on how do you deploy a domain controller in Windows Azure. I don't have the session number offhand, but if you look through your catalog, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday. It was one of the morning sessions where he did talk about how to set up domain controller, what are the performance implications, what to do and what not to do. That was primarily the talk that covered that in detail.
Okay. And they have numbers there, I assume, right?
Yep. And they have numbers there as well.
Okay, cool.
Any more questions? If not, thank you very much. I'm going to be around here, and I'm going to be at the Windows Azure booth. So if you have any questions, any of our team members would be happy to answer it now or at the booths. Thank you.